Many of the scriptures, both in the Old and New Testament, speak of the persecution of the faithful, those who suffer because of their faithfulness to God. Jesus Christ himself suffered persecution, and there were many who tried to silence him by force. We see in the scriptures that there were many who wanted to kill him while he was preaching the gospel message. His arrest, the trial, and the crucifixion can certainly be regarded as one of the supreme examples of persecution of one so faithful to God the Father. During the first century AD, as time progressed, the religious and political situation had changed from one of relative peace to ridicule and persecution. The church was beginning to go through a time of great persecution and martyrdom, including many of the original apostles. Turn with me to begin the sermon today to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9. The apostle John, who wrote the book of Revelation, suffered as well. Many of the original apostles, history tells us, suffered a martyrdom's death. The apostle John, although he wasn't a martyr, he was exiled to the Roman prison colony, the island of Patmos, where he was suffering as a Roman prisoner. He wrote to the church explaining that he was suffering persecution just as many of them were, and he fully understood their suffering. Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 9, John writing here says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, he was exiled as a political prisoner to this particular island, and he was suffering while he was there. And he's writing to the brethren, saying that he is a companion in tribulation. He reminded the brethren that even though they suffered tribulation, he understood what they were going through. But they should keep their mind on the goal, on the kingdom. Keep their mind on the goal, the kingdom of God. As he says here, companion in tribulation and companion in the kingdom. Notice this word patience in verse number 9. Many translations read patient endurance. Patient endurance. And John was emphasizing the need for the brethren, even though they were suffering, for patient endurance, because the reward for doing so would be great. Turn over a page or so to Revelation chapter 3. We were here in the sermonette previously. Revelation chapter 3, and notice verse number 11. Revelation 3 and verse number 11. Starts with that word behold, which is there to gain our attention that something very important follows. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. Verse number 11, Christ says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have that no one may take your crown. Notice the phrase hold fast. In other words, endure. Don't give up. Then he goes on in the last part of verse number 11 to mention the crown. And the crown that he's talking about is the crown of glory, the crown of eternal life. Now, in ancient times, a crown was put on the winner of a race. The winner of a race in ancient times, a crown was put on his head that he had finished and he had won the race. And that's the symbolism here, that the reward for patient endurance, for holding fast, is the crown of life, which we all look forward to very much so. John quoted Jesus Christ promising his servants that the faithful would be greatly rewarded for their service, rewarding them for their patience and endurance as they waited for the promises to be fulfilled when Jesus Christ returns to this earth to set up the kingdom of God. But let me ask the question. How do we, how do you and I patiently endure? And how do we, how can we receive help to continue enduring in our walk of faith? Well, let's go to the book of Romans for that answer. Romans chapter 5. The Apostle Paul gives us the answer of how we can patiently endure. Paul certainly knew what it was to endure suffering and trials. And he knew where the help came from. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1, the Apostle Paul writing, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 2, "Through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Because of Jesus Christ, we anticipate the time when we can share in Christ's glory. And He is the hope of glory, as the Apostle Paul mentions here. Rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Verse number 3. "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations." Now that's a statement that is easy to say, but it's not easy to do. No one likes to go through suffering, trials, or any kind of suffering that you have to go through, sometimes on a daily basis. But the Apostle Paul says, we glory in tribulations. Why? Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Going through trials, suffering, tribulation produces perseverance. Or if you're reading in the original King James Version, it's patience. Patience is produced. Continuing on, and verse number 4, and perseverance or patience, endurance, produces character. Or as the margin points out, approved character. Approved character. Character that has been proven through experience. What you go through in your life. Perseverance, character, and character builds hope. Hope to be a part of the family of God, in the kingdom of God. And then we come to verse number 5. In a context, in these verses of perseverance, endurance, approved character, and hope, we come to verse number 5. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. By the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, that's where the love of God comes from. It's a gift from God. And it is also through the Holy Spirit that we have the help, the power, to persevere in the midst of trials and suffering. The title of today's sermon is Enduring Patience with Help from the Holy Spirit. Enduring Patience with Help from the Holy Spirit. Today let's learn the enduring patience that we need to finish our quest for the kingdom of God by means of help from the Holy Spirit. Bible prophecy and Christ's own warning to the disciples of the end time is that they will have to endure suffering and persecution. Well, we'll read those scriptures later on in the sermon today. But there's good news also in the scriptures, because there are admonitions on how we can continue to go forward towards the kingdom, especially with the help from the Holy Spirit. There are so many challenges that we face today. We faced a mountain of challenges this past year, from health problems to a world that is sinking into secularism and going down the wrong path. We all see that in our daily news. We've been reading about what's been going on in the Middle East, the war between the Palestinians and the Israelis. And things are going to get worse there before they get better. But we recently celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, one of God's holy days, the day that the Holy Spirit came to the church, which was a promise from Jesus Christ, the promise to receive the power to the overcomers, to the witnesses of God's way of life, and the promise to endure. The Holy Spirit, which came to the church on the day of Pentecost in the first century AD, is the power and the help that we need to continue our race of faith. Notice the word here in verse number 4, and I'm reading in the New King James Version, the word perseverance. Again, if you're reading in the original King James, the word is patience. And that can be translated endurance. Endurance. I like a comment from Vine's expository dictionary about this word perseverance or patience. It says this: for this patience, believers are strengthened with all power through His Spirit in the inward man. Strengthened with all power through His Spirit in the inward man. And it was a promise from Jesus Christ. Let's notice that in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Now this is a section of scripture where Jesus Christ, after He had suffered and died, and He showed Himself to, to the disciples, the proofs of where He had been crucified, and then He began to expound to them. We're going to focus on verse number 49 of Luke 24, but let's pick it up in verse number 45. Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse number 45. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And I think that that's an amazing statement there that Luke added here in verse number 45. After the disciples had followed Jesus Christ for 3.5 years and heard His messages, the parables, and saw His mighty works. And He even begins to open their minds to further understanding here. As we read, verse number 46, and He said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And of course, He's referring to the prophecies of the suffering that Jesus Christ would go through. Verse 47, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Verse 48, and you are witnesses of these things. And then verse 49, which I want to focus on here. Notice it begins with that word, behold, again, to gain our attention. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Hold on, wait a little bit. Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. So a promise is made here, the promise from the Father. To be endued with power. And the apostles were told to wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Christ was referring to here. And by being patient and receiving the Holy Spirit, they would gain more peace, courage, and power. The word Holy Spirit is often called the Comforter, which comes from a Latin word which means brave. The Comforter fills disciples with courage and strength. And it was the power coming from the Holy Spirit that would make them the witnesses that Jesus Christ wanted them to be, starting in Jerusalem to preach the gospel message, going to Judah and Samaria, and eventually, ultimately, to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel message. And they were to wait in Jerusalem for that power to come. Let's go now to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, to that day of Pentecost when the promise of the Father did come to the disciples. Acts chapter 2. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. Acts chapter 2. and verse number 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and of course we observed the day of Pentecost last Sunday as one of God's high days, holy days. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Verse number 2. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And notice what happened in verse number 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, the promise that Christ had made to them earlier. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues, or languages as it should be, began to speak with other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Verse 5, and there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. Many Jews had come to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Pentecost, and they were there for that reason. And they began to hear these disciples speaking in their language from whatever nation they had come from. Verse 6, and when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them speak in his own language. And this was a demonstration, what we're reading here in the first part of Acts chapter 2, a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, that they instantly spoke in another language. And others that were assembled there understood them as they spoke. Now normally, it takes time to learn a language. All of you know that I speak Spanish, and I started in my freshman year of high school, 1969, the fall of 1969, my first year in Spanish, took 4 years of it in high school, then began to travel after I graduated from Ambassador College, eventually met Lydia in 1990, and for over 30 years, we've been speaking Spanish at home. And yet, I'm still learning. Every now and then, I learn a new verb or a new phrase, way to say thing, or say things wrong. It's something that takes time to practice. But here we see, because of the power of the Holy Spirit, they instantly began to speak in another language and were understood. It was a miracle, a gift from God. Then the Apostle Peter, we know, gave a very powerful sermon after he was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it's written here in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read all of it, but I do want to look at a couple of sections here. Let's drop down to verse number 22. As Peter's giving this inspired sermon, he says, verse 22, men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Verse 23, him, being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death. And you can imagine those that were hearing that, they were starting to tremble as they heard these words, realizing what had been done and the magnitude of it. Let's drop down to verse number 32. Verse 32, as Peter's going through this inspired sermon, this Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, verse 33, being exalted to the right hand of God, his reward for the suffering and everything that Jesus Christ went through. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father, the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. Those that were speaking in the languages by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what they saw and were witnesses to. The promise of the Father. Continuing on, verse 34, for David did not ascend to the heavens, but says himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. Then verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And that really got to his audience when he said that. Because notice their reaction in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. It got really deep down inside of them in their heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" I feel convicted now. What do I need to do now? And Peter gave them the answer in verse 38. He gave them the formula. Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And what will you receive? You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." It's a gift. And there's a process, a formula. Repentance before God. Being baptized, fully submersed under that water to have all of your sins forgiven, symbolically. And then brought up out of that water, a new person standing before God, wanting to walk with God. And then we know that the hands are laid upon the person to ask for the Holy Spirit. And then they receive that Holy Spirit so that they can begin to grow in character and walk with God. Verse 39. As Peter continues this sermon, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call." And it takes God to call a person, to begin to open their mind to understand God's way of life, His truth. He doesn't open it up to everybody, but He will call. Verse 40, "And with many other words He testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation." And that's something we can say today as well. In other words, we could say, go on to conversion upon receiving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost that we're reading here, as I briefly read through here in Acts chapter 2, helps us when we have been baptized and receive the Holy Spirit so that we can be witnesses of a life that is following Jesus Christ. And to continue on in endurance to finish our race of faith. So let me ask another question. How do we make use of the Holy Spirit at baptism to continue on and to press on to the kingdom? To not give up, as Christ put it in Revelation 3:11, to hold fast what you have. How do we do that? Well, endurance, to continue on, involves a mindset. It involves a mindset, a spiritual mindset, a determination to finish what you started. Spiritual mindset. I am going to finish my race of faith, and nothing's going to stop me. In a physical race, like a marathon, one must have the mindset to finish what you started. The goal of the finish line. Now, all of you know that I have run many marathons, many, many half marathons and 10Ks, 5Ks. For many years, the Little Rock Half Marathon here locally. And I think back of all the races that I as I was putting together this particular message, and one comes to mind talking about finishing the race, the Little Rock Half Marathon of 2018, just a little over 3 years ago. And I had been training for that particular race, and a few weeks before it, sometime I think about the 1st of February, I got quite sick. And I think I was sick for a couple of weeks, and the training stopped. Then I had to pick it up again just a couple of weeks before the half marathon, 13.1 miles, and begin to train again. Well, anyways, to not make a long story out of it, I was good for the first half of the race, 6.5 miles. But unfortunately, on that particular day, it was a crummy, crummy day. It had started drizzling and raining at the beginning of the race. And after the first half, after the 6.5 mile mark, it started pouring. Pouring and pouring down rain. Cold rain at the beginning of March. And then the cold wind started coming against my face. And there was so much water in the streets, puddles in the streets, my feet were soaked. And I began to feel a blister forming on the bottom of my right foot. Foot was hurting, cold wind, rain, and I had to start thinking in my mind, endure to the end, endure to the end. Don't stop. Keep on. Make it to the end. And that doesn't happen very often, but it did in that particular race. And you have to have that particular physical mindset to do it. And to finish our spiritual race, we have to have a spiritual mindset as well. Nothing is going to stop me. I'm going to make it to my goal, to be part of God's kingdom. And the Holy Spirit can help us have that spiritual mindset, to focus on the goal and to be determined to press on. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 11 through 15. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 11. The writer of the Hebrews says here in verse number 11, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Notice those words, those key words, diligence, full assurance of hope until the end. A disciple must diligently hold on to the course, having that hope firmly fixed in his or her mind to be a part of God's family in the kingdom of God. Continuing on in verse number 12, "that you do not become sluggish," or as the margin has it, lazy, and I would say spiritually sluggish or spiritually lazy, "but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." And we have many examples in the scriptures of faithful men and women who inherit the promises because of their faith and patience. Faith and patience inherit the promises. Then we have an example in verse 13 of Abraham. "For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you.'" And that's a quote from the book of Genesis. And you remember the story. I'm not going to turn there. In Genesis chapter 22, it was referred to in the sermonette earlier, that God told Abraham, "Take your son, your only son, and sacrifice him." And Abraham immediately obeyed, took his son up to the top of the mountain, had the knife, and I'm shortening this down, had the knife ready to come down when the angel of the Lord stopped him. And because Abraham was faithful and was willing to go through with this, God blessed him and gave him those promises. An example of one who followed through. Verse number 15, "And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." This word, this patiently endured, is referring to that trial with Isaac. Can you imagine what a thing to go through? To have your own son there with your knife up in the air. But he was confident that God would do something, and he did. This word patiently here in verse 15 comes from the Greek word makrothumio. The Bible Knowledge Commentary says, means the ability to remain steadfast in the face of undesirable circumstances. And that was an undesirable circumstance, the trial with what Abraham went through with Isaac. Undesirable circumstance, but he remained steadfast. There's an important element in developing patient endurance, and that patient endurance reflects hope, as we read in verse number 11. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 now, just a couple of pages forward. Hebrews chapter 10. And notice verse number 23. Hebrews 10 and verse number 23. And we're going to see a phrase here that we read earlier in Revelation, a quote from Jesus Christ. Verse number 23. "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering." Without wavering off the path. Continuing on straight. "For he who promised is faithful." Without wavering, staying on the path, patiently enduring, going forward. One of the exhortations of the writer here is to hold fast the profession of hope. A hope that God is going to fulfill his promises. Jesus Christ will return to this earth And finally, the governments of this earth and man's corruption will be gone. Christ will be ruling from Jerusalem. And we'll finally have peace upon this planet. That's a hope that we all have. We have full confidence that God can be relied upon. Thompson's Chain Reference Study Bible defines this word hope as a confident expectation in things beyond this world. A confident expectation in God's purpose and God's plan, what He has planned for all of mankind. Our human world has a way of abruptly changing for the worst. We saw it here in this last year, didn't we? Things can get bleak. Trials can come. But those with hope look beyond this world today and endure with patience. Let's go to James chapter 5. James chapter 5. Let's read verses 7 through 11. James chapter 5 and verse number 7. Notice the admonition here from James in the first part of verse number 7. James 5 verse 7, therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Hang in there. Hold fast. Don't waver. Keep on the path. Go forward. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until he receives early in the latter rain. And how true, a farmer has to be patient. Now, in this particular year here in Arkansas, we've got an abundance of rain, but sometimes that doesn't happen. And a farmer must be patient, and that's the analogy here. Verse 8, you also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. In verse number 10, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Many examples of the prophets who had to endure suffering on behalf of preaching God's word. Verse number 11. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. Blessed those who endure. And the blessing is that crown of life, the crown of glory, and being part of the family of God. James makes the point here in this section that we just read that the prophets would have never finished their work had they not patiently endured. And each and every one of us have been called by God for a personal work to finish. The work of a changed life. An example of conversion and walking God's way of life. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, just a few pages back now. One of my favorite sections of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 12, beginning in verse number 1. Hebrews 12, verse number 1. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, referring to the men and women, the heroes of faith mentioned in chapter 11. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And the Apostle Paul is talking spiritually here, using a physical analogy of finishing the long race like a marathon. Let us finish with endurance our spiritual race. But we have help to do it. Notice verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross in a suffering like no one else on this planet ever had to endure, despising the shame. And what happened? And they sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse number 3. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And when we go through our trials, and we do, we have our health trials, we have trials at work or home or whatever it might be, school, we go through things. But when we contemplate what Jesus Christ went through, he went through terrible, terrible suffering. as an example for all of us. And he's at the right hand of God with all the glory. And that's what we are looking forward to. We should finish our race of faith by being witnesses by performance. By performance. Walking with God. Living our life walking worthy before God. All of us who have been called to understand God's plan of salvation for mankind, understand the great hope that we have to be a part of the family in the kingdom of God. And it's a journey requiring perseverance. Living in a world going in the wrong way. Let's go to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. Of course, the section of scripture that when the disciples came to Jesus Christ asking him for the signs of his imminent return in the end of the age. And Matthew 24 is filled with his response to the disciples of signs of the end of the age and his imminent return. Matthew chapter 24. And of course, in verse number 9, he did tell them that they would have to endure, disciples would have to endure suffering and tribulation at that end time. And notice verse number 13. Matthew 24, verse 13. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And we can read over that rather quickly and realize the significance of it. But we need also take into account the significance of the help that we have to endure to the end. We have help by means of the Holy Spirit. It says, shall endure here. That's a challenge for all of us as disciples. And endure means to bear trials, persevere, endure patiently. And the Greek word here signifies patient endurance. And as Expositors points out, without breaking down, without wavering, continuing forward, for having endured trials, tribulation, and suffering. Christ says that disciple shall be saved. Verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. Witness here, the use of the word here means witness to truth. Not only the gospel message being preached by the church, but faithful witnesses like you and I who have endured and are examples of God's way of life. The truth of the kingdom will be preached and then the end will come. And there's a great connection between witnessing and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came to the church and us as disciples being those witnesses. The Holy Spirit, which came to the church on the day of Pentecost, prepares a disciple with power to be witnesses working in them. Life changes as a part of walking with God. They are a sample of people walking with God. Let's go to John chapter 15 as we begin to wind down now. John chapter 15. This is the section of scripture you've heard me say so many times that after the disciples had partaken of the New Testament Passover symbols in the upper room with Jesus Christ, they left the upper room and they began their walk towards Gethsemane where Christ would be arrested, tried, and put to death. And along the way, Christ poured out his heart to the disciples, teaching them, exhorting them, and also teaching them about the promise of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15. And let's notice verse number 27. John 15. Verse 26. Let's pick it up in verse 26. But when the Helper, the Comforter, the Parakletos, referring to the Holy Spirit, but when the Helper comes, who I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, will testify of me. Again, promising that Holy Spirit to come to the disciples, which we read about, which happened on the day of Pentecost. Verse 27, and you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. Christ promised the disciples help from the Holy Spirit that would help them to be witnesses of the truth. The power of the Spirit would help the apostles become witnesses for Jesus Christ. Now let me ask another question here as we begin to wind down. How are we able to use the power of the Holy Spirit? How can we put it into practice in our daily lives? Well, Christ actually gives us the clues and the answers, what he previously told the disciples here in John chapter 15. Notice John chapter 15, verse number 4. Verse number 4, Christ says, "Abide in me, and I in you." A relationship with Jesus Christ. "Abide in me, and I in you," as the branch, referring to a disciple, cannot bear fruit of itself. We can't bear fruit, spiritually speaking, by ourselves. Unless it abides in the vine, referring to Christ. Neither can you unless you abide in me. "I am the vine," verse 5, "you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit." Spiritual fruit is brought forth. "For without me you can do nothing." Verse 6, "If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch." You know, begins wavering, falls away, falls off. "Cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned." And verse number 7, a key verse here. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you." Again, that relationship that's built with Jesus Christ, following in his footsteps, developing the mind of Jesus Christ, growing in character, and developing the fruits of the Spirit. That's abiding in Christ. And asking what we desire in a spiritual context. "Help me to continue on, endure patiently." Verse number 8, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit." And notice the definition here. "So you will be my disciples." Bearing fruit, abiding in Christ. "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." In verse number 10, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Such vital, important knowledge for each and every one of us to practice in our daily lives. That's how we can use and develop and have the power of the Holy Spirit working with us. And by practicing it, developing the mind of Christ, bearing fruit, the fruits of the Spirit. Romans chapter 2. A couple more scriptures here. Romans chapter 2 and verse number 7. Romans 2, verse number 7. The Apostle Paul speaking here to the church in Rome. Romans 2 and verse number 7. "Eternal life," which is the goal that each and every one of us have, that to finish our spiritual race and be a part of the family of God. "Eternal life to those who by patient continuance and doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality." Eternal life with all the glory of being part of the family of God. And how? By patient continuance and well-doing, living God's way. Glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Part of the family of God. Finally, let's go to Colossians chapter 1. The book of Colossians. Chapter 1. And we'll finish by reading verses 7 through 12. Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul here speaking of faith and love of the brethren. Colossians 1, verse number 7. "As you learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit." What a wonderful thing to be able to talk about the love of the Spirit among the brethren. Verse number 9, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That the brethren be filled with spiritual understanding and wisdom. Wonderful thing to pray about. Also, verse number 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Walking worthy, bearing fruit, abiding in Jesus Christ, applying the mind of Christ in our lives, filled with the knowledge of his will and spiritual understanding, a gift of God by the means of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 11, notice this. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Strengthened with power by means of the Holy Spirit. And the result? Patient endurance and suffering long with joy. Firmly with that spiritual goal planted in the mind. Nothing is going to stop me. Holding fast. Verse number 12, we'll finish here. Giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. The promise of the Holy Spirit that came to the church is the power that can help us to have the spiritual mindset to patiently endure, to hold fast and not give up. And that spiritual mindset is this, focusing on the hope of the kingdom, to be a part of the family of God with all the glory of God, while developing a relationship with Christ, walking in God's way. That's the path to patiently endure our trials by means of help from the Holy Spirit on our path to receive the crown of glory.